Good morning, everybody. Good to see your shining faces. Let's turn to 265. Once a sinner, far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold, and I'm living on that hallelujah side.
Yeah.
that. He is coming.
All right, well, we rejoice that you are here this morning. Praise God. I know that many came from a distance. I know there were problems with some and things of this nature. Always is when people want to surrender to the Lord, but God is greater. I want to first of all say that we have a number of speakers here today, and we surely do want to get to them. And for that reason, we're asking that the speakers try to limit their messages for around 20 minutes. And if we do not do that, there may be some that will be eliminated, and we don't want that to happen. So we don't want to be responsible for eliminating someone else. I talked to a man one time, about being so long-winded. He said, "It's your fault." If you would ask me to preach more, I wouldn't preach as long. He preached very little after that. Anyway, we do want to have a wonderful time and give forth the Word of God. We also have a number of special songs today, and I'm looking forward to those. I had things all lined up, but that all goes out the window. But anyway, we do have others, so we're going to have one of those specials now. Sister Sue Robinson, are you ready for yours?
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue, and that's Ty. And Brother Hawkins and June, thank you so much for all you're doing for this meeting. And we just love you all the time. Just praise the Lord. And I wanted to thank the Lord for pickling or preserving both Ty and I, especially this last year. We've really been through the straits, so to speak. I'm missing a member on my right hand. Last year in October, I was cleaning up leaves and I grabbed onto some metal and there went my finger. But God is good. He's given me a tremendous victory. And I'm not afraid to stand up here in Jesus' name and sing for his glory. I love to sing for my Lord. He is so wonderful. That's the least I can do. And it's so good to be back here. Glad you had this meeting again, Brother Hawkins. We've been waiting a long time for this. So, anyway, and Ty, he's been having some tests in his body and cancer, but the Lord has slowed it down, and I'm thankful. Hi, Lynn and Scott, how are you? Glad that you could make it, and all the rest of you.
20 minutes.
Okay, did you want to have something to say, Ty? Did you want the last word? Okay. Brother Hawkins knows us. It's all right. Okay, the name of this song is called Jesus Led Me All the Way. And I go through all of my music. Lynn, you probably do that too when you get ready for specials. And I didn't know I was going to do a special until we got here. And but I hit on this song. It was just the Holy Spirit that brought this back to me. It's called Jesus Led Me All the Way. And in 2004, Judy Foster passed away. And many of you may know her. And she was buddies with us. She lived in Colorado, grew up with me, actually. And she, when she passed away, her husband had asked Linda Austin, and many of you know Linda, she's our choir leader at Living Waters, and she got the group, the trio together for Judy's Foster to sing Judy Foster's funeral called Jesus Led Me All the Way. And she sang the lead part on it. I am not singing the lead part, I'm singing the alto, because that's the range that I can sing. And maybe some of you don't even know this song, so maybe you don't care. So anyway, thank you for putting up with us again. We'll try not to be too much of a trial. Right, Ty? Would you start that over, please? Okay. I'll try to be good.
He is our very faithful head. Seems like I'm struck with a bit of nostalgia every time we have one of these meetings here on Labor Day. I always called on my dear friend, Brother Roy Clark. And of course, he's not here, but his wife is. So, Sister Anita, if you would come and bring the word. Amen.
Praise the Lord. As you can see, I am short. So, must have built it for somebody really tall. Right? Praise the Lord. I've known Brother Gene Hawkins since I was a little child. So, praise the Lord for the Hawkins from New Mexico. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us. The Lord has brought in some new people to our meeting, and it's a great blessing. We've had about 8 new people that have been coming, and we hear them remark about how much they appreciate it, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. So today, as he already said, he's limiting us in time, so we have to hurry and get with it, don't we? So what I'm going to talk to you about is how to be like Jesus. You know, there's a song that says, "My desire is to be like Jesus." And I think anyone who loves the Lord with all their heart, that's really the feelings of their life, is to be like him. Praise the Lord. And that's what I desire in my life, always. And he's so faithful to us. So I'm going to not read every scripture that I've got right out of the Bible. I'm going to read them out of my notes. But it'll save some time that way. And you can follow along if you want to. Okay? Revelation 21:9 says, "Come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." In Revelation 3:12, it says, "I will write upon her the name of the city of my God." And of course, we know that that's the New Jerusalem. So what will the Lamb's wife be like? She'll be like Jesus. That's the whole process of everything that we're going through in this life, the trials and the tests and everything else, is that he's working in our life to make us like him. And that's what we desire, don't we? Praise the name of Jesus, his faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." And that's exactly what God is doing today in our lives. He's learning. He's teaching us. He's not learning. We're learning. He teaches us wisdom. He gives us wisdom. He has given us righteousness, and he teaches us to walk in righteousness and yieldedness to God, and sanctification, separation from God, walking with God, and living in redemption, which is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. All of these are characteristics of Christ, and he is working through them in us. And now what I'm going to skip some of this because I am a long-winded person. I have just some items that the Lord blessed my heart, thinking about the characteristics of Christ and how these things need to be worked in us. That's not impossible. It's a fact that the Holy Spirit will work the work of Christ in our lives. He will give us the characteristics of Christ, and so that we walk with in the Spirit and yield our lives to God. The first one that I noted is the one, let's look in Philippians 3:21. I say to you that I'm not going to read all of the scriptures because it would take us a long time, and we want to give other people a chance to bring the word. Chapter 3, verse 21, Apostle Paul says, "Who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself?" This is what the Lord is doing in our lives. He is subduing all the things that are in our life that are not godly. Praise the Lord. And so when we see about the Lord's perfect obedience to the Father's will, submission, that is one of the hardest things probably for us, to be in submission to God, just to let him have his way. He is able to subdue all things unto himself. If we desire that, it might be something that we think, well, I don't have victory over and I never will have victory over. That isn't true. You have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just obeying the things of God, obey him, want to go, tell him you want it. You want to be different. It says, though he were a son, speaking of Jesus Christ, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And that is true. And we do the same thing. We learn obedience through the things that we suffer, don't we? And thank God. Second thing that I thought about is being a victor over temptation of Satan. Jesus had that wilderness experience. Remember that? And out there, and the old devil was tempting him at the end of that. We learn by this experience of being a victor in temptation. We learn that our warfare is against principalities and powers, just like it was with Jesus. But yet we have victory over that, don't we? You can't do it in yourself. I hope everybody here realizes that. It's one of those things we learn pretty quick, I think. Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our enemy is not somebody else. It's the devil. He works, doesn't he? And he tries to defeat us. Number three that I wrote down was humility, the humbleness of the mind. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give him grace and gives grace to the humble. And so, praise the Lord, how the Lord does work. Was Jesus humble? Of course he was. He seemed, he came into his own, and his own received him not. I was thinking about him this week, and I thought about how he only had, it seemed like he only had one garment and one shawl type thing that he wore around. None of us women would be willing to do that, I don't think. Men either. But, you know, it was humility. Humility in Christ, and that's what he wants in us too. Not being prideful, full of pride, and I'm the only one, and I'm the best one, and all this stuff. But let him be number one. It says that he stooped to lift the fallen. He had nowhere to lay his head. No beautiful home, no mansion to live in or anything. Just the opposite of that. Pride is the opposite, and arrogance and haughtiness is the opposite of this word, humility. Number four in my list is compassion. How much compassion did Jesus have? Oh my, wasn't it wonderful to read the scriptures, how that he felt sympathy and pity and love for people. And we think of his love for others that he deals with. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What about us? Are we like Jesus? Are we wanting to be those people that have compassion, or are we judgmental? That's another thing that sometimes we meet in a group of people, is some who are judgmental of others. But praise the Lord for victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five is how faithful he was to the calling of God in his life. He came here for a purpose. Jesus Christ came here for a purpose. And he was very faithful, wasn't he? He fulfilled the promise of God. He went about doing his Father's will. He constantly spoke of doing his Father's will, didn't he? Oh, he said this, I'm here to do my Father's will. He fulfilled his calling. In Acts 10:38, it says he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So how faithful should we be? You can't do it in yourself. I hope everybody here realizes that. I've heard people boast and say, now I'm going to really be faithful to God. And first thing you know, they fell down. We cannot be faithful in ourselves. We have to be dependent upon God. Number six in this list that I made was sinless. Jesus Christ was without sin. How can we expect to be like him when we're human beings and we have old natures? Well, we learn to walk in the Spirit. We learn to lay hold of the Word of God and the promises of God to give us victory in our life, don't we? He's holy. Praise the Lord. He is the holy sacrifice, the only one that could redeem us because he had no sin. Praise the Lord. So number one, we need to be born again and have the Christ life in us. Number two, we need to yield to God and let him wash us clean and take away all of those problems. Presenting your body, it's what Paul said. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just a reasonable service. Praise the Lord. So he came. Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will. Praise the Lord. And he was the sacrifice for sin in perfect obedience. We can't do that by ourselves. And I know that all of you are from Grace Meetings, I believe, so we pretty well hit that, haven't we, and know what the truth is, that he has worked his will and his, and it's totally by his grace that we are anything at all. An eighth thing that we have is forgiving. Was Jesus Christ a forgiving person? In Luke 23:34, hanging on the cross there, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do we want to be like Jesus? It's a sad thing, but pastors do come upon things where people don't forgive others. And that's very difficult. It's very difficult. We need to be a person who forgives other people. And it's only by the grace of God, because sometimes we're hurt. We're hurt and we don't really want to forgive. The word forgive in the Bible means to lay it aside, to put it away, to send it away, to remit it. What does remit mean? We forgive it. It's remitted. It's changed. To yield up. Matthew 6:14 says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So how many times do we fail in a day? God is always forgiving us, isn't he? He is always there, faithful to us. Number nine, I'm skipping some, but number nine is patience. Oh, the patience of Christ. The word says, the God of patience and consolation. Praise the Lord. That's what he is. That's his character. And Christ kept this composure, and he responded appropriately to every individual. Think about that. How he was mistreated, how he was misjudged. And yet he was absolutely yielded to God and to his reason he was here. In Romans 15, you can read these, verse 5 through 7, it talks about the God of all patience. And this word patience in the Greek means to be long-spirited. In other words, we don't get so upset. Like some people, just the moment something happens, we're upset, you know. That's carnal. That's worldly. But we have a long spirit. We're patient with people. Forbearing means to put up with people. Long suffering. Enduring. Thinking of our dear Lord Jesus, how patient he was while he was here on earth. And yet he was still righteous as he deals with us too. He wants us to be that way. So how patient he is with us. Have you ever experienced that the Lord was patient with you? Yes. Praise the Lord. In Romans 5:3 it says, tribulation works patience. We don't like the tribulation. But we learn whatever God allows in our lives to come into our life. It works for our good, don't we? We learn that. And the work that it does is it teaches us to be patient. Tribulation works patience. 2 Corinthians 6:4, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, necessities, and in distresses. The word approving, do what that means? Exhibiting. In the Greek, it means to exhibit. In other words, a Christian believer is to show forth that he has Christ, that he is exhibiting how God is in his life. He has much patience. He has, even in affliction and necessity and distresses, he is much patient. Hallelujah. He's exhibiting that. Number 10, which is probably the most important thing. And I've gone on, and I'm not going to teach the whole thing because I think there are 12 of them. But anyway, this number 10 is probably the most important thing, and that is love. What is love? I read a little thing, and it said this. It is taking the initiative to build up and meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. That's what love is. People that irritate us, people that we wonder when they're ever going to straighten up and do right. You know, we get judgmental. But praise the Lord for the love of God. Think of the Jesus' love in his earthly life. He constantly was helping people. He was constantly healing people. He was giving them his strength and blessing to others. Then think of his love for us. He died on the cross for us, gave his life. Think of how much he loves us now. And he is looking for a bride. He is looking for a bride, a group of people that will love him supremely. And it isn't just, you know, okay, when I get to heaven, I'll love him supremely. It's got to happen right now. You and I, we have got to yield ourselves to God and let him do the work in us. And the trials are great. I can witness of that. Our trials become great. But our Lord is greater. Our Lord is greater. His power is greater, and he helps us through no matter what kind of circumstance it is. He is there so faithful. The greatest test of love is to how much you really love Jesus. Right now. Right now. Praise the Lord. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And for all who love his appearing. And for all who love his appearing. Not just for Apostle Paul, but for all who love his appearing. And this love deepens as we go on with the Lord, as we continue to follow him and talk to him and fellowship with him, that love begins to grow in our life and becomes number one. Number one, to love Jesus supremely. That's the most important thing. Hallelujah. So our characteristics of Christ, gentleness, peacefulness, truthfulness, these attributes of Christ are manifest in our life as we yield to his working. Sometimes he allows something we don't like and we feel terrible with, because maybe it's illness or the illness of a loved one, the taking of our loved ones. I have a child that died at 11 months old with muscular dystrophy. My husband is gone to be with the Lord. My mother, all my family are gone to be with the Lord. I'm the last child alive in the family. And, you know, but God is so real to me, and I love him so much. I appreciate it is God which worketh in me and into you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise the Lord. Give somebody else a time now. Praise the Lord.
Might think that all of those things she mentioned are just impossible. Of course, the enemy would love to for us to believe that, but we also believe he that hath He that began a good work in you will perform it, and God will do that if we give him the opportunity. Praise God. How we love that message, that word of God that builds us up. Amen. Roger and Pam, do you have your song?
I told Brother Hawkins we could just go up. We don't even need to have fellowship meeting. Just go up. How many feel like traveling on?
Right?
See? Sure.
See.
Whatever you want.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain, no sorrow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. It's glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine, and I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on and on. Yes, I feel like traveling on.
Feel that way enough to get it done. Amen. And Brother Roger, if you would go now and get your Bible, then you can come back up here and speak for us.
We'll get our steps in today. Praise the Lord, saints. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And to know, not just feel his presence, but to know his presence. And it's just an amazing thing. When in my 20 minutes, I was doing a funeral at the Veterans Cemetery in California, and the director came up and said, you only have 15 minutes. And I said, shoot, I'll just be getting started. I may not do anything if I can't find my notes. But how many remember something in your life that stands out? We all have things in our life that we remember. And I was sitting there thinking about camp meeting in Tucumcari. As a kid, I just remember the Hawkins. All you could see was arms and legs when they were preaching. Just the power of God was all over them. And I remember in Bible school, we visited Brother Eggers' church. And he preached a message on the blood of his cross. I will never forget that. Just one of those things, a standout. And we have several, but I just want to share a little bit about remembering. You know, we think of memories, but I'm not talking about memories. I'm talking about things you remember. And hopefully it's something that's good that's happened in your life. My aunt wrote a book, and she was sitting with my mother and talking about her book, and my mom just starts shaking her head like, I don't remember that at all. Were we raised in the same house? I don't think that ever happened. And my aunt's like, yeah, it sure did. She remembered it differently. And so that's kind of why we have the four Gospels, because the memory and the remembrance was different but the same. So being able to remember is to bring to one's mind an awareness of something seen, known, or experienced. How many have ever had a blessing in your life that you just remember? You remember the day that God just blessed your life in one way or another. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a blessing where God remembered his covenant with his people. And he remembered that, and we remember that today with the sign of the rainbow, don't we? We remember that God has promised, not just in water, but indeed, he will keep us. He will set us free. He will do the work in our lives. And there's a sign after the flood that is now a sign forever, that we have that peace and that security with him. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 43:18, the Lord says, remember not the former things or consider the things of old. Why? Because God wanted to do a new thing. He wanted to do something fresh. He wanted to do something alive. He wanted to carry his people to spring forth. And he said, you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to be aware of it. You'll be able to know it. He said, I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is where our path of life has kind of gone, where God has made a way where we thought there would be no way. And so he's become Yahweh in our life. He's become the way, the truth, and the life. And then in Isaiah 46:9, it says, remember the former things of old. So why did God tell him not to remember in the 43rd chapter? And then in the 46th chapter, he told him to remember. Well, the 43rd chapter was speaking of the weakness of man. We don't want to remember. I'm not going to get up here and tell you, oh, I'm just so weak and the beggarly elements of the world are getting me down. No, we're learning to run the race. We're learning to overcome. When a racer sees those hurdles in front of him, he doesn't stop in front of the hurdle. What does he do? He overcomes it. Sometimes you get a foot caught and it goes down. But you know what? We keep running, don't we? We keep running this race to win Christ. So in Isaiah 46:9, when he says, remember the former things of old, he's speaking of the things of God, of who he is, because he said, I am God. I am God. We know who he is, and we're still learning. There's none like him. There's just none like our God. In verse 10 of that same chapter, he decreed and declared the counsel of God. And that's what we are here to do today, to declare and decree the counsel of God, to remember the word of God, to remember how good the Lord has been to each one of us. We had a lady years ago in church. I think I've told this story, but she would stand up in testimony service and she'd say, if I told everything the Lord has done, we'd be here all night. Guess where I am today? I could stand here all day and all night and tell you how the Lord has blessed, how the Lord has been good. I remember the goodness of the Lord. I remember the things that have happened that I didn't want to remember. But today, I remember the goodness of what God has done. For Brother Ty, there are 253 instances of the word remember in the scripture. He's our counter. 253 times. But you know, the one time that Jesus spoke to the disciples, over 170 women in the Bible, and Jesus spoke and said, remember Lot's wife. Why was that so important? That was important because she looked back and she was stunned. You know, if you begin to look back in your life at the things that you thought you were missing in your Sodom and your Gomorrah, in whatever city you came out of, you begin to look back at those things, you'll be stunned. You'll kind of freeze. And we see a lot of frozen Christians that should be chosen Christians that are just stunned by things that have happened. And I believe that it's because, like Sister Anita said, that foundation of the Word of God is lacking. And so it's up to us to raise up and begin to preach and declare the Word of the Lord. When Jesus told us to remember, it wasn't to remember in the things that were bad. It was to look forward. We have so much to look forward to. And, you know, when we think of these things, there's a admonition to not look back, because when you look back, okay, that better be Jesus. Just tell him hi for me. When we look back, we forget and we become idle. You know, things that we see coming don't always cause us to freeze. But those things that we don't see coming in our lives, that we stumble, we can become idle. But God has made a way. She looked back at the evil cities, and she was remembering those things, and it stunned her to the point of stillness. She became a pillar of salt. So what do we remember? I want to remember the good report. I want to remember the fellowship meetings. I want to remember camp meeting. You know, it's not that bad things haven't happened that we remember, but we don't put them first. We put the things of God. If we believe the good report, I want to remember the good report. I want to remember the things that God has done. Do you remember your taste of grace? When you got a taste of that seasoning salt of grace in your life. I remember being a child raised in Brother Astle's church in Rosemead, California. And it was the grace of God. We cut our teeth on it. And I knew the word, but then I came to a place in my life where the Lord revealed his grace to me. It was different than someone teaching me. When the Holy Spirit teaches you, it comes alive in you. And then you get that taste of grace, and you cannot quench that savor. You can't quench that taste of grace. What a remembrance when the word of God is revealed to your heart. God reveals that word to you. And then finally, we have to remember our first love. Not second love. Our first love is going to take us to first rank. When we love him first, when we love him before anything else, when we remember to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. That's everything in your life. That's everything we have. And then in Psalm 150, verse 6, we need to remember to breathe. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. A lot of Christians with COPD today. And spiritually. I mean, naturally too. But this chronic not remembering to breathe. It's sad when your brain doesn't tell you to breathe. And there's an intervention that has to happen. But praise the Lord, we remember him, and we take a deep breath in the Lord. Have you ever just taken a deep breath? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We remember to praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. A praise remembrance of who God is and what he has done in our life.